Where do you like to sit and sip wine? We'll give you our number one place in the world to do it.
We'll be joined by a man with one of the most famous family names in American wine. It's probably not who you think.
And we'll do a seafood recipe that will have you running out to the grocery store and the wine store while we're still talking. All of that's coming your way next.
I'm not a great fool, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of you. But you must have known I was not a great fool, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of me.
Truly, you have a dizzying intellect.
Wait till I get going. Let's drink. Me from my glass, and you from yours.
It's the Wine Crush. And now, here are your hosts, Laura Lawson.
Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world, she walks into mine.
And Michael Ambrose.
Nervous?
Yes.
First time?
No, I've been nervous lots of times.
Welcome to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And we welcome you to the weekly show about the grape in all its glory, about the drink in the glass, and the best thing you can sit on your table to have a great, fun, and relaxing day. Michael and I have been around wine, either selling it or drinking it, for even more years than we care to admit. And we want to help you get the most bang for your buck from every bottle and every sip of the blessed grape.
If you were with us last week here on the Wine Crush, we took you on a personal journey to some places Laura and I think are the greatest affordable wine destinations on the planet.
This week, we're counting down to our all-time favorite wine locations. That one spot where if we could stay forever, we would. Also on today's show, our personal winery chef, Richard Hake, has whipped up a surprisingly good crab cake recipe, and we're probably going to argue about what wine goes best with that. Jim Fetzer from the legendary Fetzer family is going to tout some of his deliciously environmentally friendly wines from his Ciego wine garden. And this, of course, is an audience participation show. So besides applauding wildly, you can call us at 877-4-CRUSH-1 or email us at info@winecrush.com just to play along. When you call, a very sexy and handsome voice will tell you exactly what to do from there.
All right, let's get to it. Laura, what's your latest wine discovery that you want to share with your friends in the Wine Crush Nation?
Right now, it's actually because of last week's show that I'm drinking what I'm drinking. We had a listener call in and ask the difference between Pinot Grigio and Pinot Gris.
Right.
And I was just thinking about how most people are probably, absolutely confused about Pinot Grigio, Pinot Gris.
Right.
Well, there's a lot of other Pinots out there, so I started getting off on a Pinot Blanc tangent.
Indeed.
Now, contrary to popular belief, Pinot Blanc is different from Pinot Grigio and Pinot Gris. It tends to have a little more body like a Chardonnay and have more sharpness like a Sauvignon Blanc. There is a winery in Sonoma called Valley of the Moon. They do a Pinot Blanc, and I've got my paws on that. And I had several people over for dinner last weekend, and we drank a few bottles.
Well, that's cool.
No, it's great, and it's good for when you are going to sit down and drink a few bottles because it won't break the bank. It comes in about $10 or $11 a bottle.
Well, that's good. Where can you find it?
You're going to have to go to a fine wine shop to find this. It's not something you're going to find on everyday shelves, but most of the good wine shops in your neighborhood should carry the wine.
Yeah, that's good, and it's a great price.
It is. It does suit everyone's needs.
Yes.
Michael, what are you drinking these days?
You know, last night I was out with some friends, and this is the first bottle for the evening. You know, we had four people, and we actually had some figs and some brie cheese and some toasted almonds, and we got a Jabalay Parallel 45 Rosé wine.
Oh, you're drinking pink.
Drinking pink. It's kind of smells like strawberries. It's got kind of a rose smell to it, but it's $11. Great. It's pretty. Goes great with those types of foods that I just described, and it was a great way to start the evening.
I love seeing a man who isn't scared to drink pink.
I'm not scared.
I know. I like that. But for our listeners, we are closing in on the end of rosé time. For those of you feeling brave, run out to your stores, run to your restaurants, and drink some rosés. It'll definitely be worth the effort.
Yeah, and you know, this particular wine had 13.5% alcohol, so I was really surprised to see that it had that much body to it.
That does help. Well, last week we began unloading our personal memory banks of the most memorable wine destinations we have ever experienced. For me, that was New Orleans, Louisiana with the New Orleans Food and Wine Fest. Domaine Carneris always at the top of my list. And, of course, just to wander and be the tourist abroad, it was Tuscany for me.
Yeah, and for me, I started with a little town in northern Italy called Sirmione and had some Piro Pan Suave there. Then recommended Santa Barbara County, which is just north of L.A., and then the great American spot, Napa Valley.
Fair enough. But this week, we're letting you in on the best of the best of the absolute best.
Right.
Michael has three locations, and so do I. As usual, we don't agree, but that's never really stopped us in the past, and usually you, our loyal listeners, do, well, mostly benefit from it.
Right.
Michael, what's the number three location for you?
Well, Laura, this is going to be a little bit of a surprise. I can appreciate the fact that you're going to probably raise your eyebrows when I say Germany.
Great shock there.
Yeah, you know, it's known for Riesling grapes. We stayed in a little town called Bernkastel, Q's, which is a small little place, and Dr. Bernkastel is on the side of the hill. It's a vineyard on the side of the hill, and we visited with a lady called Elaine Tanish, and she makes Tanish wines. And I'll tell you, the wines were spectacular. You taste the sweetness, and you taste all of the grape flavors, but it's like it's sharp. It's a great combination between sugar and acid. They're just wonderful, and the Rieslings are the best. Okay, Laura, how about you?
And once again, I am looking toward a particular winery, and that would be in the heart of Napa Valley, and that's going to be Farniente.
Uh-huh.
Farniente tends to be one of the more expensive wines I'll recommend, and we've had Greg Allen from Dolce on the show,
right,
which I think is still the finest dessert wine made in the United States. If you will go and apply on the line, on the website, for a private tour, is worth all the time and all the effort that you will spend getting there.
How about spelling that?
Farniente, F-A-R, next word, niente, N-I-E-N-T-E, Farniente Winery. And once you get onto the property, it's like you have gone into a foreign tropical paradise. Interesting fact about Farniente, it has the largest selection and collection of azaleas outside of the state of Georgia.
Yeah, and you know, I've been there too.
The late owner of Farniente, Gil Nichols, had two passions. One was gardening and the other was fast cars.
Cool.
And he has a barn full of about 20 cars. The actual value of the cars in the barn is worth more than the winery itself. So car aficionados need to go check that out. On the flip side of it, gardening was his passion. So it's almost impossible not just to spend hours wandering around the property there. And above all, you get to sit and drink Farniente Chardonnay, you get to drink Dolce, you get to drink Cabernet, and you get to try their new addition, Farniente Pinot Noir. Definitely that ranks up there with my number three. When you want to splurge and you want to take time, check out Farniente Winery and make it worth your time and effort, because it will definitely take your breath away.
To reach Laura and Michael, call 877-4CRUSH-1. That's 877-427-8741. Or you can email them at this new address, info@winecrush.com.
Here at The Crush, we are off to our usual wobbly start, thanks to Michael. Mm-hmm. But this is where he gets to redeem himself. That's right. It's time to open up the email box and phones and let the questions flow.
Okay, let's do it.
From the wine line right now, we have Scott.
Hi, my name is Scott, and I also have a question regarding the difference between California Chardonnay, which tends to be a little bit oakier, which is what my palate has been raised on, versus the potentially more fruity French type of traditional white or Burgundy Chardonnay, and I wanted to get your ideas as to what would be a winery in California that would exemplify both extremes, if you will, as my wife tends to really like the oaky wood taste and butter, and I wanted to get your flavor on that. Thank you.
Scott, I couldn't have planted a better call or a better question after my commentary on my third favorite place to go. Farniente Chardonnay, hands down, will be the perfect blend for both you and your wife. It has a great amount of oak on it, but it does have a little bit of fruit, but it has that Burgundian elegance in the bottle. Farniente unquestionably is the answer to that question.
Yeah, you've got it right on the head there. There's no doubt about it.
My God, Michael and I finally agreed on something. That's amazing. All right, you can give us an email at info@winecrush.com. And Jan from Raleigh, North Carolina, did just that. Jan writes, any thoughts on how the wine industry is affected or will be affected by global warming?
There is enough evidence to say that the earth is going to get warmer. It's going to make grapes higher in sugar, higher in alcohol, and that's going to be something that we're going to see over the upcoming years.
Number one, if we're dealing with a warmer climate than usual in a certain area, it can benefit the grapes. You hear about the drought in North Carolina.
Right.
You talked about the drought out in California. It just sharpened the intense fruit flavors and gave people actually better vintages. As far as global warming affecting the wine industry, let's face facts, we've only been taking the temperature of this planet for about 90-some-odd years.
Right, right.
For us to be saying that we're in the midst of global warming and tearing this planet up, oh, for the love of God, talk to me in 300 years. Trust me, when this planet gets tired of us, it'll shake us off. We don't have to worry about doing damage to it. We need to worry about what it's going to do to us. All right, more of this drivel and personal opinions when we return.
Looking for some good news at the gas pump? Chevy has seven models that offer an EPA estimated 30 miles per gallon highway or better. From HHR with an EPA estimated 30 mpg highway, to the Avail 5 with an EPA estimated 34 mpg highway, and Cobalt XFE with an EPA estimated 36 miles per gallon highway. Chevy's MVPs of MPG, based on EPA segmentation. See your local Chevy dealer.
So you think you're a Team 48 fan, right?
Try me.
How many Sprint Cup races have Jimmy?
229.
How many did
34
they?
34 wins.
Where was Jimmy?
El Cajon, California.
When was he?
9-17-75.
Where was Chad?
Rockport, Illinois.
I'm sorry, what?
Rockport, Illinois.
Rockport, Illinois? No, my friend. Chad Knaus was born in Rockford, Illinois. You call yourself a fan.
Become an official member of the Team Lowe's Racing Fan Club. Just log in at www.lowesracing.com and sign up today.
This is Jimmy Johnson, and I want to thank all of the Lowe's Team 48 fans for cheering us on over the years.
Lowe's, let's build something together.
Hey-ya! Doug, are you okay?
Mark, I'm practicing my ninja moves so I can take on weeds with Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer.
Do you mean there are ninjas inside the Spectracide bottle?
Well, using Spectracide is like sending an army of tiny green ninjas to kill weeds and unwanted grass right down to the root. You see the result in as fast as 3 hours.
I see, Sensei. I'm heading over to Lowe's to pick up Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer with ninja fighting power.
Just remember, Mark, weeds can't hide from Spectracide.
There's a reason Roush Performance chooses Cooper Tires for their high-performance vehicles. Just ask Cooper Tires technical advisor, Johnny Unser.
Roush tunes vehicles to reach their absolute limits. They need tires that can handle those limits, from handling to durability to safety. That's why they choose Cooper. And that same race-bred technology goes into every Cooper tire you buy, no matter what you drive.
For more information and to find a dealer near you, visit CooperTire.com. Cooper Tires. Don't give up a thing.
Bring the ball up. See the court, baby. See the court.
Let's go.
Right, see the open man. Good pass. That's
listen carefully.
Yeah!
Okay, get back.
What do you hear?
Good deeds.
Yes!
Do you know what that is?
No, that's right. Okay, okay.
That's the sound of someone being there. The sound of someone caring about a kid.
Good shot. Yes! Yes!
That's the sound of a mentor. See a movie together, play catch, or just hang out. The important thing is spending time together. A little of your time means a lot to a kid.
This is Laura Bush. Help America's youth. Be a friend. Be a mentor. Just be there.
To be a mentor, go to BigBrothersBigSisters.org. That's BigBrothersBigSisters.org. A public service message brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
Look for the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities.
Have a banana.
Eating well, have two bananas. And playing.
Come on, Baloo.
Go together like best friends.
You better believe it.
With the food pyramid, the bare necessities of living healthy are easy.
That bring the bare necessities of life.
It gives you just the right amount of grains, vegetables, fruits, milk, and meats and beans.
Crazy.
So eat right.
You eat it?
You're gonna love the way they tickle.
Be active.
I'll move. That's it.
And don't forget to have fun.
You're lots of fun, Baloo.
That's the way to be the best.
You're all right, kid.
At anything you do.
Yeah, man.
You can go to mypyramid.gov to play some games and find out more.
Me and Baloo, we've got things to do.
This has been a message from the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Ag Council.
Thank you.
For all sorts of fun information about wine, go to our new website, winecrush.com. That's winecrush, all one word, .com.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And you are tuning in to the show that is talking about all of our favorite wine destinations. And Michael and I have narrowed it down to three. We have played our third. We are moving on later in the show to our other two. But right now, we want to pop a cork and toast our new listeners joining us on KBIZ-FM from Ottumwa, Iowa. You are now part of the Wine Crush Nation, and welcome aboard. As I mentioned, our theme today is great wine destinations that are within your budget. These are personal favorites of Michael and me, and we don't want them to be a secret anymore. A few minutes ago, we revealed our third favorite wine destination, and that means number two is next.
This time you go first.
Some of our loyal listeners know that I have various hobbies, and regardless of when we're talking about favorite wine destinations, they need to be centered around places that you are passionate about.
Right, no doubt.
So that would lead me to my second to best favorite wine destination is Monterey, California.
Oh, cool. Okay.
I am a hacker. I'd like to say I'm a golfer. I will say I own golf clubs.
Yeah.
I can't say I'm truly a player.
I've seen you play.
Monterey is situated south of San Francisco, north of L.A., so it's in a great spot driving down Highway 1, whether you want to go north or south. The region has great wineries in it, and what's neat about Monterey is everything's pretty much made to be consumed now.
Yep.
Monterey's not a region where you have to sit and wait and stare at the bottle until it's time for it to drink. You grab a bottle, you pop the cork, you start drinking. And for those fellow golfers out there who have either seen Pebble Beach or who played Pebble Beach, you understand the need to pop a cork or two by the time you get done with that lovely wind, the great breaking greens, and everything else that just makes you convinced you want to take your clubs and throw them flat over into the Pacific.
Yeah, including those deer that wander across the fairways. They make great target practice. What wines stand out as far as that area?
Believe it or not, Villa Mount Eden, once again part of the Chateau St. Michel family, has a winery or makes wines from that region. There is also a wine called Jekyll, J-E-K-E-L,
yep.
Which is produced by the kind people at Brown Foreman. They do a nice job. But obviously, when you're looking at Monterey, there are just hundreds of great labels that come to mind. And they're all fresh, they're fruity, they're forward. Like I said, great for drinking after a day on the links. So, Michael, what's your number two destination?
You stole my thunder last week.
I did.
You did. But I've got to still say that Tuscany is my number two favorite wine destination in the world. Just like you said, Chianti, Brunello di Montalcino's. You can taste wines from the simplest, easiest drinking to the $200 a bottle style. It's wonderful. The two biggest cities in that area, one of them is Florence, the other is Siena. I distinctly remember going up to Antinori. You mentioned Castello di Banfi. We went to Antinori and spent a full day looking at their operation there. It's a wonderful place, and I would highly recommend anything by Antinori, A-N-T-I-N-O-R-I, high quality from their cheapest Chianti to their most expensive Super Tuscan.
Well, it's hard to go wrong just about anywhere they make wine, but all this travel talk is making me hungry, and that means it's time to bring on Richard Hake. Richard Hake is the winery chef for the Robert Mondavi Winery. Richard, welcome to The Crush.
Thanks so much. Great to be back.
Richard, what do you have for us today?
We've got crab cakes with Creole mustard sauce, and this recipe, everyone says they've got a great crab cake recipe. I think this kind of follows the baseline of a lot of great crab cake recipes. It's got Old Bay seasoning, which anyone from the Southeast, and especially my mother being from Maryland, made sure we had the Old Bay in the cupboard, and saltine crackers, crumbled up saltine crackers instead of breadcrumbs. And one thing that's a little bit different about my crab cake recipe than others is that I pan fry it. I don't deep fry it, so there's not too much saturated fat involved, and it's got a great Creole mustard sauce, which is going to be, once again, our bridge for the wine and food pairing.
That sounds absolutely amazing for a main
course.
Our listeners can find everything that they need to make this by going to our website. That's winecrush, all one word, .com.
Hey, Richard, would off-the-shelf Creole mustard work, too?
Yes, absolutely, and I just buy the Zatarain's Creole mustard and just whip that into my mayonnaise, and it works perfectly.
So, Richard, what wine would you pair with crab cakes and Creole mustard?
Well, Laura, this one's going to you because I think you're a big Chardonnay fan.
You think?
I'm going to go with a crisp Chardonnay.
All right. Yay.
Yeah, Laura, what about you?
I am actually going to stun both of you and step away from the Chardonnay glass, but not that far away. Definitely got to do bubbles.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you definitely got to do champagne and crab cake. It just kind of melds well. And if his crab cake is really as good as he says it is, then the champagne will clean my palate before each bite.
Well, okay, that's good.
Michael, what about you?
You know, I'm going to go with the Sauvignon Blanc here. I think that musty kind of a smell that you get with crab, I think that's just the best match.
Well, so there you have it. Crab cakes, crabby old man, and a wine chef who likes Chardonnay. Finally, it doesn't get any better than this. Richard, thanks, and we'll talk at you next week.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
In addition to Richard's recipe, you can find out what's on our minds by checking out our blogs at winecrush.com. Yes, it's scary, but cowboy up and take the plunge. See what's rattling around in our juvenile and empty minds, and maybe even get some helpful information about making your next wine selection. Go to winecrush.com. But before you do that, let's get back to your calls and emails. You can call us at 877-4-CRUSH-1. Or you can email us at info@winecrush.com. And we got a call this past week.
Hi, I just have a comment about the conquistadors bringing the wine grapes to California. They actually brought them to New Mexico first before they headed west to California. And New Mexico does have some of the oldest grape varietals in the country growing right here in the Rio Grande Valley. So we hope to hear more about New Mexico on your show.
We would love to talk more about New Mexico on our show. So if any New Mexico wineries are listening, send your wine in. Let us comment on what's going on out there. But since our crack research staff of two hamsters, a turkey vulture, a gerbil, a rat, and a marmot did some digging and learned from the New Mexico Wine Festival website that the state does indeed tout itself having America's first wine growing operation predating California.
Mm.
In fact, there are 45 wineries in New Mexico, and at the end of August, their annual State Wine Festival will be held in Bernalillo. If you want to check this out, go to NewMexicoWineFestival.com for more details. See, you learn something new every day. Coming up next, we'll be joined by a winemaker who might be able to help you out. This winemaker has 10 brothers and sisters, most of whom are in the business with him or in direct competition.
Well, his daddy must have been really busy.
I would say so. His mother must be extraordinarily patient.
Yes.
We'll explain how that's good news for you right after this.
So, you know, we won the cup in 06, then we won again in 07, so naturally me, Jimmy, Chad, and the guys were really happy. And, you know, of course, we've had some...
What's this we? We won in 06, we won in 07. What, are you part of Lowe's Team 48?
Yeah.
Become an official member of the Team Lowe's Racing Fan Club. Just log in at www.lowesracing.com and sign up today. You'll get the club's free track record magazine, members-only discounts, weekly club emails, and lots more.
This is Jimmy Johnson. Looking forward to having you on the team.
Lowe's. Let's build something together.
Z-Max. It helps your car, truck, motorcycle, or boat save gas and last longer. The secret of Z-Max is micro-lubrication. Z-Max penetrates deep into the metal of your engine and drivetrain where regular oil can't. Z-Max reduces heat and friction, dissipates carbon buildup, restores power, and reduces fuel consumption. Z-Max maintains mileage in your new car and improves mileage in your older car. It works. Log on to Z-Max.com to find a Z-Max retail performance partner. Z-Max. Performance you can feel.
You wanna go? All of you who wanna go to college.
Wanna go?
You best listen to this knowledge. Listen. You gotta be a go-getter, cause it's hard to get there. Get up in their face, get up in their space. Excuse me, missus. You say you're my teacher, you say you're my preacher. Excuse me, mister. You act like you're large and you say you're in charge. So show me, what is it that I need? So tell me, the books I should read. Somebody hit me with the 411. There are steps to take, there's a job to be done. I want step one, step two, step three spelled out. All the info is what I'm about. So ask for help and do not stop. knowhowtogo.org. Let's ride.
That was Fonsworth Bentley with Wanna Go. For more college info, visit knowhowtogo.org. Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
Son, I want you home by 10, all right?
I know.
Hold on. Listen, we need to talk about drinking. You know how I feel about alcohol.
Yeah, I know.
Seriously, you're way too young to drink. I know some kids are drinking, but you're my kid. And just because they drink doesn't mean you have to.
I know.
I mean, you're still growing, you're still developing. You may think you can handle it, but you're not a grown-up yet. It's dangerous.
I know, okay?
Teenagers know everything. So talk about underage drinking before they know it all. Before they're teens.
Listen, when you drink, it screws up your judgment. I don't want you getting hurt. You could make some serious mistakes.
I know, I know.
Listen to me. This is real.
I know, okay? I know.
Start talking before they start drinking. And keep talking. To learn more about the dangers of underage drinking and what to say to your kids, go to stopalcoholabuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You must be your fairy godmother. Yes.
It doesn't take a fairy godmother to tell you that the right fit means everything.
Good heavens, child. You can't go in that.
Children under 4'9" need to be in a booster seat because they aren't ready for adult safety belts alone. Many parents miss the important step of booster seats.
Maybe you better explain things to him.
Booster seats raise your child up so that a safety belt designed for adults will fit and protect them properly.
Oh, that does make a difference.
Remember that 4'9" is the magic number. And get your little pumpkin there safely in a booster seat.
Hop in, my dear. Oh, thank you.
And like Cinderella, you can live happily ever after.
It's like a dream. A wonderful dream come true.
For more information, visit boosterseat.gov. This has been a message from the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
The opinions, intelligence, and all-around soundness of mind of the host of The Wine Crush vary with how much alcohol, sleep, and stress they have experienced at the time of recording. If you find errors, think that you find errors, or just want to take issue with something, call us at 1-877-4-CRUSH-1. We may return your call or air the correction depending on how moody the hosts are at that given moment. And remember, just because they claim to know everything does not mean they actually do or would admit fault anyway. Thank you.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
Our goal here is to provide you with a life raft in a sea of confusing wine information. And in the unlikely event we confuse you any worse than you already are, you can do any or all of the following. Number one, you can email us your questions so we can confuse you further. You can do that at info@winecrush.com. You can call us at 877-4-CRUSH-1 so we can hear your lovely voice and share it with the Wine Crush Nation. Or if all else fails, we recommend you visit your local wine shop, ask questions of them, and then finally, take the bottle, take the cork out of it, drink the bottle, and think about what we've said, and come back next week, and maybe we'll sound more friendly.
That's right. You know, tell your local proprietor that the Wine Crush sent you. You probably won't get a discount, but we love hearing our show's name on the lips of a grateful nation.
And if you're just joining us, we've already put more than a half an hour of wine wit and wisdom out on the airwaves. But fear not, you can hear what you have already missed by going to our website, winecrush.com. That's winecrush, all one word, .com. And if you're a real masochist, you can listen to past shows as well. Michael, what have you been doing of interest lately besides studying diligently all your pictures so you can come up with the best wine destination?
Well, you know, I actually went to a movie.
Did you now?
Yep.
Did you get a senior citizen's discount?
I did.
All right.
As a matter of fact, the guy at the front said, "No way you're a senior citizen." But I said, "Yes, yes, I am, son."
He didn't have his glasses on either, did he?
but
which movie did you go to?
I saw a really interesting movie. It's a Batman movie. It's the latest one. It's The Dark Knight. And let me tell you, sister, it's a dark movie. It's a mean machine, but it's full of excitement and lots of fun.
Well, if it's as dark as you're saying it is, that means I'm definitely going to enjoy it.
Yes, you will.
But it is on my list of things to do. I was a Heath Ledger. I still am a Heath Ledger fan. And people I have talked to say that this last performance of his is just absolutely remarkable.
It's incredible. You leave there scared.
Well, you hate to think the man had a swan song so early, right. But I'm definitely going to be checking it out. For our listeners who have already seen the movie, call us. Let us know your thoughts. 877-4-CRUSH-1.
Stomp them grapes and make that wine. Put it in a bottle, boys, and ship it on down the line.
I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And today, once again, we bring you one of the great names in the California wine business. We are very fortunate today. We are joined by Jim Fetzer. And I don't think there's anyone who has grown up drinking wine that hasn't drunk or seen or used a bottle of Fetzer at some point in their life.
Right.
So, Jim, we welcome you to the Wine Crush.
Well, it's good to be here.
Today, we are going to focus on your brand new venture, which is Ciego Vineyards.
Yeah, you know, we sold a Fetzer Vineyards. I have 10 brothers and sister.
Oh, good.
And
Lord.
That's probably why we sold it, huh?
Yeah.
So, yeah, a little bit about Fetzer. We started in 1968. We started with my dad. He bought an old ranch in Mendocino County. And we started planting grapes. We had cows and sheep and horses and pears and alfalfa. It was actually a really pretty much like a biodynamic farm would be today.
Right.
So that's how we grew up, and we started in 68, and our dad passed away in 1981. We were doing about 20,000 cases of wine. So all my brothers and sisters, we all worked, and we built it up to about 2.5 million cases in 1992.
Wow.
And we came out of a family meeting, my brother John and I, and we looked at each other and said, this could be the time.
Yeah.
So we decided to, Brown Foreman had contacted us, the guys that own Jack Daniels, and so we ended up putting a deal together with them. We kept all the land, and
smart
we sold
man.
Them the brand and our sales and marketing force in one of our wineries. And we signed an 8-year non-compete, so we had to stay out of the beverage business for 8 years. And I started a small ranch called Ciego. C-E-A-G-O, of which my brand name is now Ciego Vine Garden.
What is
and we
Ciego?
Call it a vine garden because it's not just a vineyard. You know, it's got a lot of different plants. We have olives, we have cypress, and we have figs and gardens and chickens and sheep. So it's more of a garden atmosphere. So that's why we call it a vine garden.
What does Ciego mean? Where'd the name come from?
Well, we're in Northern California, Mendocino, Napa, Sonoma, that whole area. And there was a tribe of Indians, the Pomo Indians, P-O-M-O. And the Indians had these different villages, and the original word was Ciego. And Ciego meant Valley of the Grass Seed.
Oh.
And they were seed collectors. So we changed it a little bit so you could pronounce it, Ciego.
I see. Well, that's cool.
That's where the name comes from.
Well, I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And we are speaking with Jim Fetzer of Ciego Vineyards. Tell us what you're doing varietally at Ciego. We've heard about the great property and the farming process, but what are you putting in the bottle?
Well, our main item is Sauvignon Blanc. We call it Kathleen's Vineyard. That's named after my mother. Of course,
oh, that's
she loves
nice.
That. And the style that we set out to make when I have a Chilean winemaker, Javier Tapia. And Javier and I sat down, and the idea we had was to make a very clean, crisp wine with good acidity that had, you know, the aromas and flavors of peaches and apricot, more of the stone fruits. And the wine's just got good fruit. It's very clean. It's a great food wine. So that's the main item we do. We also make a Chardonnay that we call Del Lago from the property right here on the lake. And we make that more of in a style of the Chablis style, where it's very apple-y, the kind of acid flavors of apple, and it has some pear characteristics to it. It's no oak. So it's very clean. It's a great food wine. It's really fun. So those are the two whites, although we also do a little bit of Muscat Canelli that does very good here in the lake. It's a beautiful grape, has these beautiful aromas. We pick it early, so we ferment it down to where it's about 8% alcohol. where traditionally with wine we'd be anywhere from 12 to 14, right?
Right.
So this is very low alcohol, and we leave about 8% natural sugar in the wine.
So you'd call this your dessert?
It's kind of like a dessert wine. It has very good acidity, so it's very clean. It's not syrupy. So then we do a Cabernet Sauvignon. We actually have many different clones of Cabernet Sauvignon. We have about 6 clones that we use. We blend those together, and then we do a Merlot, and we have a small amount of Cabernet Franc, Malbec, and some Syrah. So those would be the varieties that we do. The main ones you'd see in your market would be the Chardonnay, Sauvignon Blanc, Cabernet, and the Merlot.
Jim, we have to take a small break right here. Can you stay with us for a few minutes?
Sure.
As we head to break, here's something to tickle those brain cells. This week's wine teaser. Who said, "There is no black label with a story on a beer can"? The author of these words is world famous for his golf clubs. Do you know who he is? The answer in a moment.
Hey-ya! Doug, are you okay?
Mark, I'm practicing my ninja moves so I can take on weeds with Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer.
Do you mean there are ninjas inside the Spectracide bottle?
Well, using Spectracide is like sending an army of tiny green ninjas to kill weeds and unwanted grass right down to the root. You see the result in as fast as 3 hours.
I see, Sensei. I'm heading over to Lowe's to pick up Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer with ninja fighting power.
Just remember, Mark, weeds can't hide from Spectracide.
Looking for some good news at the gas pump? Chevy has 7 models that offer an EPA estimated 30 miles per gallon highway or better. From HHR with an EPA estimated 30 mpg highway, to the Aveo 5 with an EPA estimated 34 mpg highway, and Cobalt XFE with an EPA estimated 36 miles per gallon highway. Chevy's MVPs of MPG, based on EPA segmentation. See your local Chevy dealer.
I'm on a test track riding in a Roush Mustang with Cooper Tires technical advisor Johnny Unser to learn why Roush Performance chooses Cooper Tires.
Wow, feel that grip?
Yeah, I felt it. Cooper incorporates what they learn at the track into engineering high-performing, reliable, safe tires for whatever you drive on the street.
Okay, time to cut her loose.
We weren't already cutting her loose? Cooper Tires, don't give up a thing. For more information and to find a dealer near you, visit CooperTire.com. Okay, seriously, I want out.
When a legend like Carroll Shelby puts Z-Max in every car he owns, maybe you should too.
I know it works.
Z-Max with micro-lubrication reduces wear on vital engine parts and increases horsepower. If you're a custom engine builder or a do-it-yourselfer, Z-Max belongs in your car. Z-Max. Easy to use. One in your gas and one in your oil every 5,000 miles. Take it from Carroll Shelby.
I put my name on the line on that, and I mean...
Log on to ZMAX.com and find a retail performance partner. Z-Max. Performance you can feel.
Melting polar ice was a dirty look. Shrinking glaciers, a nudge. Dying forests, they were a tap on the shoulder. We got a finger in our chest from the rising sea level, and a sharp poke in the ribs from recent wildfires in Alaska. Then dying coral reefs and eroding coastlines pushed us hard. The drowned polar bears, that was a shove. Melting permafrost, that was a slap. Rising ocean temperatures and extreme weather, an uppercut. Then record-breaking heat waves hit us right where it hurts. Has it occurred to anyone that maybe the Earth is trying to get our attention?
We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution before it's too late. To find out how, go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Drink wine, everybody, drink wine. Drink wine, everybody, drink wine.
Drink Welcome wine, back to the Wine Crush. Wine. Email us at info@winecrush.com or call us 877-4-CRUSH-1. Even if you don't think we care what you think, we care what you think. So call and tell us how much you're caring what we're caring that you're thinking.
Easy for you to say.
Absolutely. See what a glass of Chardonnay will do. Like I said, please check us out. For those of you who tuned out that last little endeavor, you can go back on the website at winecrush.com and play that over and over again to see if I really got it right. All right. Our brain teaser before the break was asking you, who said there is no black label with a story on a beer can? The answer is Eli Callaway. He was the founder of Callaway Winery, which he created in 1969. In 1982, he sold it and founded a sports equipment company known as Callaway Golf. It went on to become the world's largest manufacturer of golf clubs. Mr. Callaway passed away in 2001, but his namesake winery still operates in Temecula, California.
Yeah. You know, Laura, you play golf.
I own golf clubs.
I have seen you. Yeah, that's right. But after a round of golf, you know, most people come back to the clubhouse and they tend to have a beer. Any thoughts on that?
I think three things come to mind. Number one, the little beer cart that rides around, the little girl, the cute little blonde that's always parky. Can I get you something to drink after you've dumped
your
fourth?
Here's my $5.
Yes, after you've dumped your fourth ball into the water. They don't have wine on those carts.
Right.
You know, you get beer, you get soda, so you aren't in a wine mind. Secondly, you're very hot generally after coming off the golf course, and as much as I love wine, there is nothing as refreshing as that first Budweiser or that first Michelob Light. Thirdly, when you think about golf houses, you think about the 19th hole. Probably up until the last 15 years, that has been the denizen of the male society.
Right.
And
like men.
Yes, men. And most men aren't as forward thinking as you are in, you know, drinking pink. So being able to go into the 19th hole and order a Chardonnay is kind of few and far between. But that is changing with the number of women out there on the links. And there is nothing as refreshing as a big glass of Sauvignon Blanc, that lovely smell of mowed grass, the lovely smell of divots
that you might have
afterwards.
That's right.
I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And we will begin speaking again with Jim Fetzer. Obviously, we all know the Fetzer name, but today we have been talking about his new venture, the Ciego Vineyards. Jim, obviously the Fetzers have a place in the history of California wine. And it sounds like between you and just your mess of siblings that y'all are going to have a great place in the future of California wines. What is the biggest trend that you see now restarting in the business that you did, say, when you started Fetzer way back when? What is the main difference?
Well, the main difference now is we all want to stay small.
Yeah.
You don't want 2 million cases again, Jim?
After doing 30 million bottles, you know, of Fetzer a year, we've done that, played that role. So now it's really fun. We're all separate. We all do our own thing. And it's fun to, you know, live the lifestyle. You know, we make our own olive oil. We have our own lamb. We have our chickens. We have eggs. You know, so we're living this really unique lifestyle of the wine country. And we all want to be in that, you know, 15 to 20,000 cases seems to be a number that can work. I have three of my children working with me, so it's something they can carry on that legacy. It seems to be, you know, the trends are moving. You know, everybody's talking green, and I think we should preserve the earth as much as we can. But also, if we grow grapes organically, we can, you know, capture that real pure flavor in the grape.
I think that is pretty much status quo of what we find a lot of coming out of wine country right now.
Yeah,
yeah, all over Europe, you know, and in California and, you know, Washington, Oregon. You know, everybody's moving in that direction. We all have to make better wine. So if we can do that by being closer to the earth, you know, tending the vines more closely, I think that's what the direction we're headed.
Can our listeners find those on your website?
Yeah, we have a new website that actually launched yesterday.
Oh,
so it's
cool.
Very interactive. We have some videos there. So if somebody's interested in learning about biodynamics, about where we are, they can go to www.ciego.com.
Jim, as we bring this to a close, I know for me, my very first bottle of Merlot that I ever had in my life was Fetzer Eagle Peak Merlot. I remember being turned on by the grape and thinking, God, this is wonderful. And obviously, we have built my palate since then. If you have novice wine drinkers who are looking at your wines and you want to direct them to one of your favorites or one that you think will a benchmark for them, which one would you direct them to?
Well, I think for the white, I would direct them toward the Sauvignon Blanc,
right,
the Kathleen's Vineyard. And that should be readily available. If not, they can go to our website and get it. One thing we need to keep in mind when we talk about organic wines and we talk about organically grown grapes.
Right.
If you have organic wine, you cannot add sulfites. But if we put on the label these grapes are grown organically, we can add sulfites, but we have to be under 100 parts per million. So this is a good example to try a wine that's grown organically and biodynamically and test it for yourself to see if you really like these style of wines. But I think you'll find the wines are very, very crisp. They're very true to character.
Well, it sounds great. Well, Jim, thank you very much for being part of the Crush today. It's fun to hear what the Fetzers are doing. It's fun to look out and know that there's going to be so many great new wineries. And, of course, Ciego being at the top of our list of things we want to try from the Fetzer brood.
Well, thank you, Laura and Mike. It was fun.
It's been truly a pleasure.
All right, Jim, you take care, and we'll talk to you again soon. Coming up in a moment, our tour of the world's greatest affordable wine destinations, according to us, which is really all that matters, concludes. What's number one on Michael and mine's list? Stay with us to find out.
There's a reason Roush Performance chooses Cooper Tires for their high-performance vehicles. Just ask Cooper Tires technical advisor, Johnny Unser.
Roush tunes vehicles to reach their absolute limits. They need tires that can handle those limits, from handling to durability to safety. That's why they choose Cooper. And that same race-bred technology goes into every Cooper tire you buy, no matter what you drive.
For more information and to find a dealer near you, visit CooperTire.com. Cooper Tires. Don't give up a thing.
Hey, Mark, have you noticed any of the Spectracide green ninjas around the track?
Green ninjas, Doug?
Yeah, I'm serious. I haven't noticed any weeds or nasty crabgrass. They must have used Spectracide Weed Stop Plus Crabgrass Killer.
You know, I haven't seen any crabgrass.
Using Spectracide is like sending an army of tiny green ninjas to take out the weeds without harming your lawn. You see results in as fast as 8 hours.
Hand me a bottle of Spectracide Weed Stop Plus Crabgrass Killer. I'll get those ninjas in my yard.
Weeds can't hide from Spectracide.
Look, Steve, isn't that Jimmy Johnson over there?
Where?
Over there, in the lumber aisle.
Yeah, that's him.
Well, you said if you ever saw him, you'd ask him.
I'm not going to ask him.
Go on, ask him.
I can't, it's embarrassing.
They say he's a really nice guy. I'm sure he'll do it.
All right, here goes. Excuse me, Jimmy?
Yes?
I feel a little funny about this, but I was wondering if I could ask you a favor.
Sure, what is it?
Would you come over and fix my fence?
Cobalt tools are so comfortable to use. Once you start working with them, you'll never want to quit. Cobalt, the next generation of tough tools. Available only at Lowe's.
Looking for some good news at the gas pump? Chevy has 7 models that offer an EPA estimated 30 miles per gallon highway or better. From HHR with an EPA estimated 30 mpg highway, to the Aveo 5 with an EPA estimated 34 mpg highway, and Cobalt XFE with an EPA estimated 36 miles per gallon highway. Chevy's MVPs of mpg, based on EPA segmentation. See your local Chevy dealer.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared.
It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs.
I start to cough. Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, 1 out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly 1/3 of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking. It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest. A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. That's 1-866-662-8822. Log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Welcome back to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
Our theme today has been 3 all-time favorite wine destinations worldwide. I have picked Farniente Winery here in the States and, of course, Monterey, California.
And at the same time, I picked Germany and then I picked Tuscany.
And now we are down to the best of the best, the numero uno, the top dog, the big cheese, and my number one affordable wine destination
is...
the Wine Spectator's New York Wine Experience.
Okay.
I am not a huge fan of the Speculator sometimes. I do kind of get off on some of their rating system. But every year, the Wine Spectator does a show. Every major winery in the world comes to the New York Wine Experience. It's a three-day event. It's held in Times Square. Everyone from Krug to Sutter Home to Trincaro to Behringer to Antinori to Chateau St. Michel, everyone has a table, and you get to wander through lane after lane, booth after booth of all these amazing wines. And if there ever was a great time to try the difference between French and California,
right?
If there was ever a time to try Italy versus Chile, if there was ever a time to try Argentina versus New Zealand, this is the time and place to do it. It's in New York. You don't have to worry about driving. You can stay in the hotel. What I do encourage our listeners, if you're going to make the trek to this show, make the time and spend the little extra money to get yourself a full three-day pass. There's absolutely no way you can do this show in one day and you're only cheating yourself.
Right.
Hands down, best wine experience, best wine destination.
My greatest wine experience has been starting in Paris, going to Champagne, hitting Burgundy, and then going down to Avignon, which is in the Rhone Valley. The wines were from very inexpensive to hyper expensive, and it was just a great trip.
The point is, wherever you find peace and tranquility with a glass of wine, that is your great destination. It might be in a national park, at your favorite restaurant, or on your patio. It might even be sitting across from my co-host.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I'd be happy to auction off that experience if anyone's a taker. Never forget that it's been proven that the good company you keep helps make a wine taste better.
Laura, before I get all misty-eyed, let's return to our calls and emails.
Hi, this is Brandy, and I'm calling from Pittsburgh. I know that red wines get better with age, but that whites are better young. First, why is this? And second, how old is too old for a white?
It'd be fun to answer the how old is too old question about Michael, but I don't think we have any takers on that. Red wines age better because of a chemical component in them called tannin. Tannin helps the longevity of a wine, keep it in a bottle, and keep it whole.
Yep.
As a whole, any white wine you're going to go pay $30 and under for on a grocery store or Mega Mart shelf is not meant to be aged.
Nope, it's as good as it's going to get when you get it.
Yep, put it in your refrigerator, drink it, enjoy it.
That's the key, is the under $30 part. You know, Hansel comes to mind. It's a hyper-expensive white wine out there, but it ages beautifully. And you can get a 5 or 7 year old wine like that, or even the Farniente that you were talking about earlier. It was quite good.
Well, I think that sums that up nicely. Hopefully that helped. Unfortunately, on our note on aging, is a time we all dread. It's the time to close the show. If you missed anything on the show or want to see recipes or hear us in our glory, do check out the website winecrush.com. While you're doing that, grab a glass of wine, and while you're waiting for next week's show, we encourage you to sip socially, to drink responsibly, to drink what you like, not what you're told. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And remember, in vino veritas, in wine there is truth.